Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to IGN UK podcast number 271. My name is Gav Murphy and today I'm joined by...
Alex Simmons.
Hello, and Alex. Also...
How am I supposed to outdo that?
You're not going
to...
Well, what's your name?
Rory Powers.
No. What's your name, boy?
Rory Powers.
How you doing?
That was kind of earthy.
How's everyone?
I'm good. Yeah, I haven't been on in a while.
I think we keep getting famous people.
Well, I guess, yeah.
What the hell?
How am I supposed to compete with Mark Miller? I can't do that.
Yeah,
I can't write comics.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, but your name is like a superhero.
That's true. I could maybe be in the Civil War.
Be in a comic.
I could die. Probably. Yeah. I wouldn't last long, but I could try.
We should point out, Alex has got his phone there because your wife could go into labor any
second.
Could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be an interesting podcast if that happens. Yeah.
Would you leave if you went into labor?
Of course. How ridiculous is
Well, that's
that?
Very unprofessional. You wouldn't want to see this out to the end.
Well, I don't question
your
wife
dedication
left at the end of it.
At what point would you get to, like, if we got a feedback, you'd stay, right?
No. If I got a text, so the deal is, phone calls I'll ignore,
okay,
because she knows that I'm busy. But if I get a text saying now, I'm gone.
Should that be the way that it works, really?
Well, how would you do it?
Why are you ignoring phone calls from your pregnant wife?
Well, because I'm in the middle of a podcast.
I would do like some sort
me.
Of bat okay, signal right. up with a baby, like, and then if you see that, then you know you have
there,
to.
There are no windows.
See, I don't actually speak. I don't speak to my.
You foiled my plan.
I don't speak to my girlfriend on the phone ever. Like, if she calls me, I'm just like, what's happened?
Right.
Like we never speak on the phone. We only speak over texts and emails and stuff like that. So if she called me, I would think there's something.
Why
is wrong.
Why do you not? Talk to you
because I hate speaking to anybody on the phone.
21st century love, Alex.
I'm gonna see you when I get home, isn't it? Yeah. Like, what would I say on the phone that I couldn't just
hello?
Bang
how are
out
you done?
No.
Amazing! Thanks. Wow, he says romance is dead.
Yeah, look,
do you just sit there next to each other on the sofa, just text
no,
each
not
other?
Like that. Obviously,
what
we
do
talk
you want
then.
For tea?
No, we text them, but it like we talk then. But if like you know she's at work and I'm at work, we communicate via text or Snapchats of my genitals. Like
right.
That's all you need these days.
Chat roulette.
That's it.
He's in the bedroom.
Chat
you're
roulette.
In the front room.
That's so 2009, man.
Know.
Jesus.
I was I was with my roommate the other day and she wanted to show me something on her laptop. And I didn't want to get up from my chair. So I was like, just Snapchat me a picture of it. So she Snapchat a picture of her laptop and then I just looked at
Are
my
you
phone.
Serious?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be more interesting. Like, you went on a laptop and you saw some absolute grot or something like that.
Well, it was grot what she sent.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Absolute. That's so, shame on you, Caitlin. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
The youth of today.
What's everyone been doing this week, mostly?
Playing games.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's
ditto.
Good.
So, obviously, the big thing to happen this week is heists in GTA Online.
That's right.
Now, Rory and I had the opportunity to go and play it at Rockstar.
Had the pleasure.
Before it came out. So that was last week? It must
have
been last week. Yeah. So we played through the Humane Labs heist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good.
Yeah. Is that the only one you've done so far?
It's the only one I've done so far.
Okay,
so that's heist 3.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I was born ready for heist, but I'm waiting for you guys, my teammates.
I'm ready.
Well.
I'm ready. We're waiting for Krupa.
I have a bit of an issue.
Actually, and you as well, yeah.
Well, I am level 39, yeah, which is pretty high, but now I have, to adapt to you PlayStation fiends.
Yeah.
So now I'm starting from the bottom. Hopefully now I'm here. I'm draking it. I'm draking my way up to the top again.
It's because we all play on PlayStation 4 and you're the only one in the office who plays on Xbox One. So
but it's all mind games, so I can get all the Xbox games.
So it was either us.
I'm playing the long con here, guys. You need
So it was either us all have to level up, or one person had to level up. And seeing as you spent all your time on it, we thought it wouldn't take you very long. But in fairness, like, I always thought that everyone had to be level 12, but it's actually only the heist.
It is,
organizer.
I think you need you have to be like level 6 or 7. Basically, you need to have done the first Geralt mission.
I've done that.
So
you're good?
What's the first Geralt mission?
He's the kind of... So you got Simeone, Simeon, whatever
Simon,
his name is,
Simon.
Who is the kind of repo guy.
Yeah.
Geralt is the drugs guy. Same.
Oh, I've done the drugs.
Same stuff, different packages.
It is like level 6 or 7, I think, that we found out. So it's not too... Like, we did it in an hour. I got to level 7 or 8 in an hour of playing. So
I got to level 11 after one night of playing it. And I only did a couple of missions. Yeah. But I also found a little bug. And I don't know if it's been fixed or what now, because it's just been a big thing. It's been a big update. But my internet's really crappy. So what would happen was I would enter into a race. The internet was sort of that I was hosting. The internet was sort of cut out. Everyone would get kicked from it,
and then you just win.
I'd just be in the race.
I've since been playing it.
Yeah,
you can do pretty much everything on your own.
There's a lot. There's some you can do with other people.
Missions that are 2-to-8
races,
or whatever it might be.
Races you can do by yourself.
I've done a race by myself.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Like, that's a boy.
I won.
Yeah, did
which
you?
I'm really pleased about.
But that's the thing, though. And you get, I mean, I got like $9,000 for doing a race and coming first. But it's like, I did.
See, money's not the thing. Like, you can get money very quickly. Like, when we were playing, just leveling up your character, I think I made like $100,000 in a lunch.
Yeah, it was quite a lot. Yeah. But I mean, we were just missions, like back-to-back missions.
But also missions that were... Because if you go for verified missions, so if the Simeon missions or the Geralt missions, you get more RP, you get more cash.
Right.
And I'm all about the RP. I still don't know what JP is.
What's the difference between RP and JP?
Well, RP is experience points. I have no idea what JP is.
Reputation points?
I think it's, respect points, something like that.
Yeah. And JP is...
No idea.
Well, the only thing we can think of is Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. That is what I've been saying.
Well, I've got loads of them.
Got 15 Jurassic Park, yo.
Jelly? Purple? Yeah. I can't think of any.
Well, you're not going to guess it.
I don't think so. Probably not jelly purple, I'm assuming. And those are even for the ones that we're doing. Like, 39 now, I think the highest I've ever got was like 23,000 for a mission.
Okay, right.
Which is insane. I mean, they're more difficult. And this is on hard. We were playing on hard as well.
Yeah,
something to note.
Yeah.
But it's not too difficult to make money.
I saw
it's only like 50,000 to do a heist. Well, to be the leader.
Every single mission I've done, either with you or with other people, I've done on my own relatively easily.
Yeah.
Because they just hit a certain formula and you can figure it out.
Even on
easily.
Hard, though?
Not on hard. Not
no.
On,
no. That's what I mean.
I
think some of the ones some of the missions that I've done are like, they're very, very samey, which is why I'm really looking forward to just getting cracking on heist, because it's just something different. And I think, to be honest, that was why I stopped playing GTA 5, because GTA 5, you reach the first heist relatively quickly, I think. And then once
the jewelry store.
That's right, And when I was doing that, I was thinking, this is amazing. And that's what I thought GTA 5 was all going to be about.
Yeah.
But there's not very many in it. And actually, the second one, like on the boat, I didn't think was as good.
Yeah.
Because it felt like like the first one, the jewelry store, maybe because it was much smaller one, it felt like I was really in control of what was going on.
Yeah.
Whereas the boat one, I felt like I botched it very, very quickly and then just did my normal GTA thing of just like hide, cover, took everyone out. And then I didn't really notice that I was penalized for that.
But I think, like, when it comes to online, though,
I guess
it's mainly about the money, because
I don't know, I really enjoyed the story for ours mostly.
Sorry, I didn't mean that in terms of what's at stake.
If you
keep going through the game and screwing up, you know, obviously you're spending more money on ammo, you're spending more money on this, that, and the other. But I'm not bragging, but I've got so much cash already, it
doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't help you got all the free pre-order stuff. Maybe that's why.
So bitter.
I'm so bitter. He's got like a car. He's got all these weapons and things.
I saw someone...
I have to work my way up.
I saw someone tweet from a picture of them finishing, I think it was heist number 3, which is the one you guys have done.
Yeah.
And they got $933,000 for it.
Wow, they didn't...
Is that right?
No, can't be right.
Unless they did
500, maybe they did it on hard or something like that.
Maybe it was a different mission. But yeah, $933,000 was the...
It's 540,000 to pay out for that one.
Distributed amongst the team. So obviously, if I was the kind of heist leader, then I could either share it among you, or I could keep the lion's share to myself.
Which you would.
But
It'd be a mutiny.
You don't figure that out until the very last part of the heist. So there's six parts.
Yeah.
So basically five setup missions, and you can do kind of different variations. You don't have to do them in the same order. You can mess around with it. And then you guys will get a fixed amount each time we complete those missions.
Right.
I put my upfront cost in, and then I get nothing until the last mission, and that's when I take
it. So it is assumed that you would take more, because we're getting money. Because I was getting like 20,000 or something for each segment of the heist.
So if probably...
It's not that much.
Probably when we
do it. I get 9,000 for doing a race by myself.
No, we got, 81 grand.
Yeah.
That's what... Yeah, but... Like, if I was going to distribute the wealth, I'd go probably 85 me, 5, 5, and then 5 for Krupa, which I think is fair, right?
That's so
cruel. Doesn't seem like that. No, so cruel. That. I'll carry on doing the one-man races, to be honest. Yeah,
just on your own, wow.
Absolutely.
This is what GTA
We're all in here playing
guys
and Heist and Gavs at his desk doing, like, little boat races.
Yeah.
But, you know, I we spoke about it on a video last week, and I just think... You know, you're getting... Each heist is about 3 hours, probably. 3 to 4 hours on the first playthrough. Yeah. Five of them. And you can play them multiple times because
that's
there
insane.
Were bits that I was doing that, you know, completely different from Rory.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand is people moaning that it's a year late and this, that, and the other. It's like...
People will moan about anything,
though. You're getting this for free.
Yeah.
And it's longer than most games.
Yeah. And better than most games, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to trying it out, actually. Like, we just haven't had time this week at all.
No, well, no, the plan is to do it, well, probably while people are listening to this podcast.
Excellent.
Great.
But I do think, Rockstar could have quite easily not announced Heist for GTA Online and then done it as a kind of DLC package for 20 quid.
I'd have paid 20 quid for it, in fairness.
I absolutely would. Yeah. It's just there's so much content. It doesn't really seem like a big thing because it's just like we're going to add like five heists.
Yeah.
But the scope of the story, even just for ours alone, like... aside from, you know, the other four, is just so massive. And as you said, it's like, it's different from the ones that you have in the narrative because in the narrative you have the, you switch roles.
Right.
And I mean, that's kind of nice because then you get to be a part of every single
You're always piece. At the center of the action.
Exactly. Right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. But there's something to be said for being a specific role in a team of other people and like all working together towards a common goal. It's just, it was great. Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah. Mm. But it has made, because I've gone back and played through the... I'm playing through the single player, and I'm at the sub heist now.
Why has it made you want to go back and do that?
Just because I really enjoyed it
on
360. Yeah. And then I just thought, well, it's there. I'm not really playing anything else at the minute. Yeah. And
you should be. I don't know what, though.
Maybe we'll get to that later.
Yeah, stay tuned.
I never finished the first... Yeah, I didn't finish it older. I just didn't find you as funny anymore.
I'm a big GTA fan, though.
I love GTA, but I just didn't find anything that funny. And, like, I think, like, all the satirical stuff felt really on the nose this time. Like, when you go to, like, the Facebook offices and things like that, I was like, I don't know, maybe when I was, like, 16, I would have found that hilarious and really clever. But as a sophisticated 28-year-old when I played it, didn't do anything for me.
A 28-year-old, sophisticated, not sure.
Well, who knows?
Yeah, there's something, I don't know if it's just... because I'm getting older or for maybe it's this game, but I remember
you're
like,
about six.
Leave me alone. I was just because of like playing previous GTA games. Like I remember at times I would just drive around the city and just listen to the radio stations. Yeah. I don't know if it's just because I'm busier now and I don't really have the time to do it, but I mean like I remember playing those games and knowing when shows were going to start like in loops and just enjoy listening to the shows and being so in this world. And maybe it's also because with GTA Online, there's so much to do that you don't need to entertain yourself with these other things. You know, you can play with your friends and things like that. But yeah, I know I'm just not quite as...
No, I don't know. I still find myself like driving around, like especially if I get a cool song on the radio, I'll find myself just driving around, especially if it's like dusk or like the sun's just setting.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Or it's hammering down with rain.
Go pose on a mountain and do some self-reflecting.
It looks so good
it's
on
astonishing.
PS4. Like.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Favorite GTA radio station? GTA 5. Let's do this.
Do you know, I don't actually know the names of the stations.
You don't know the names of the stations?
No.
I like Los Santos one. That's really good.
Non-stop pop, baby.
Yeah, non-stop pop is
all
really
day.
Good. Like when Rihanna comes on, that's really, really good. I really like the sort of Mexican one or the Spanish one.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's really good.
I feel when I'm driving through the desert, I like to put that one on.
Yeah.
It makes me feel pretty Breaking Bad. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm trying to think like what my favorite song to come on is, but it's definitely Eddie Murphy Party All The Time.
I don't even know if I've heard that one.
When that comes on, that's
is that the best on Nonstop song, Pop?
I don't think it's on Nonstop Pop. No, I'm not sure where it's going on. But yeah,
because I like. Is it the Small Faces that did the tune for the first trailer?
Yes. Yeah.
That always feels like badass because that was the first time I saw GTA 5.
Oh no, that's the very first trailer, Skeletons in a Closet.
No,
Stevie Wonder.
That was
the
second trailer.
Okay, right, yeah.
I'm sure it's the Small Faces, something like that. I forget the name of the tune, but when that comes on, and you're just kind of cruising
you feel quite
along
cool,
in an amazing car.
Yeah. It was like when Danger Zone came on when we were doing
the jet
part of the heist. That was so cool because we even said we were driving and we were like, oh, this is pretty
Top Gun.
We were like, this is pretty Top Gun.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden Danger Zone kicks on. We were like, yeah. And even I was, you have to fly and land at the airbase.
Yeah.
And I was flying alongside the guy at Rockstar.
Mm.
And I was like, how about I fly a little above you? And I was going to turn the plane and do the Top Gun thing. Didn't work. Went into a lamppost and we failed the mission.
Oh. It wasn't a lamppost.
It was
because lampposts are not very high.
Electrical tower.
Yeah, exactly.
Something came out of nowhere. But it was a really bad moment because we just beaten that mission that had taken us like half an hour to do. And we were we did it.
Like all and of then, the kind of missions in GTA, you kind of get team lives.
Yeah.
And we'd used one stealing the Hydrojet. And then he goes and wastes the last one just trying to do
on the
ridiculous
home,
stuff.
On the home track.
Just as we're kind of like,
did you fail the mission then?
Yeah. And we're all on separate TVs. So I crash and I just go completely silent. And then all their screens freeze. And they're like, what the happened? What the hell happened? And I'm just like on my head lowered
down.
Like,
what the hell happened?
Yeah. I was like, what was that, guys?
It was one of those like demos that by the end of it, you could see Rockstar just like,
rubbing their eyes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think like everyone had left the office by the time we were done with heist. It was like dark outside. It took us quite a while.
I had a really bad demo the other day where I was playing Tembo the Badass Elephant, which is like Sega's new game.
It's a great name.
And you have to score a certain amount of points to unlock the next level. I was only able to play two different levels, but the build that we had was so early that you had to, it was like level 1 and level 6 I was allowed to play.
Right.
But to be able to get to level 6, you had to do another 4 levels all the way through.
Right.
The guy was with me was like, oh, I'll have to play through these. And I was like, oh, look, let me play through them. I won't write about them. I won't capture them.
It's on the podcast, though.
Well, it is fine, yeah. But I was like, let me just play through them just so I can open it. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But you won't be able to write about it or talk about it. But I was like, yeah, that's fine. I just want to have a sort of feel for the game. And when I got to the last one that needed to unlock the next one, you could sort of see him get really antsy because it was like, it took about maybe like 15 minutes to do the level. And it looked like I really wasn't going to get enough points because I was sort of just exploring and just generally being rubbish.
Yeah.
And he was getting really antsy and he was like, oh, I just need to bring up the dev thing a minute. But then our keyboard is a really odd keyboard, so it doesn't have a home button. So he was like, where's the home button on your keyboard? I was like, I don't know, man. I'm playing as Elephant. And I was like, I'll be fine. I'll do it. Don't worry. I'll do it. And then it was getting the end. I was like, oh my God, I'm not going to do it. And you could see him just like getting like, oh God, like visibly thing. I skimmed by with like 4 points or something like that. So
you did it.
I was all right with that.
That was good.
Which is the main bit.
But one thing I wanted to say, talking about cars, is when I brought in my PS4 to start playing online, you've been relentlessly taking the piss out of me because of my car.
It's
because
you've got a ridiculous car.
What have you got?
I've got like a Toyota Celica, like old school, like purple on the top, black on the bottom. It's so fast and it cost me nothing. And it's just really, really fast. And it looks badass as well. But like, you've got loads of money. I don't have loads of money.
Yeah, but they were free. All of my cars were free.
How did you do that?
Because
of the pre-order.
Oh, that's bollocks.
I know, right? This is what I'm saying. I've been going on about this. Like,
you can't
stop.
Have a go of my car and take the piss out of my car.
Why
when
not?
You got all those amazing cars in your garage for free.
And guns as well. What else did you get? Cars, guns?
Well, that's just a few guns.
Just,
bitches and hoes.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to hear any more words against my car.
Well, it's because your character, you've gone for a heroin-abused version of yourself.
Yeah.
Well, by a mustached version of myself. Yes. I mean,
so he just runs around in a pair of pants.
Oh,
and
that's right.
And by pants,
yeah.
I mean the English version of pants,
okay,
not
yeah.
American.
They're
the right
shorts,
pants.
Actually. They're sporty shorts.
I look like a Latino Robert Downey Jr.,
yeah.
as I do in real life.
Yeah.
Krupa is the one that looks like a drug-addled version of himself.
Yeah.
And you've just gone full John
mad.
Hammond.
Yeah.
I've made like a crackhead John Hammond from Jurassic Park. Yeah. It's really good, but like, people recognize it because my character's called Mr. Hammond as well. So now and again, like the other day, I was it was me versus one other guy in. Have you played the Snipers versus Supers?
No,
missions?
You were saying about it.
Oh my God, they're so good. Have you played them?
No.
They're really good. They're like these custom missions that people have made, and they're so much fun. So basically, half of you spawn right next to supercars. Half of you spawn right atop this sort of like platform with sniper rifles, and there's these two giant slides either side. So basically, you have to get enough speed up, go up, and try and like knock the people off the platform, all the while they're trying to snipe you. And it was 1v1. It was me versus this one guy. And as I was coming up over him, went straight over him, killed him. So I won. As I was landing, I could hear him going.
But well, actually, that's something similar to what we did when we were playing the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Rory was driving along in his car along the motorway, and I was just following him in a helicopter.
Yeah.
First of all, he didn't know it was me. And he thought somebody was about to destroy him, so he got out of his car and then hid under a bridge.
And it was funny because we were on the mics as well, and I was talking to you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's like, okay, so I'm waiting for a phone. I was like, oh, someone's in a helicopter. I was like, I'm going to hide on this bridge. And I was like, shit. I was like, hiding on the bridge. I was like, I think he's going to kill me. And then Alex
was
like,
me.
Yeah. He's like, what are you hiding from? And I was like, there's a guy in a helicopter. And he's like, that's me. And then we did I did the Die Hard thing.
Yeah. So I brought my helicopter just above a hill.
Yeah.
And he drove his supercar up and to see if he could hit my
helicopter. Flying through the air.
Hit my rotors a few times and then eventually took it out. Yeah.
And then I crashed into the helicopter, and then that burst into flames. And then I tried to drive my car away, and it burst into flames. And then it exploded and killed both of us.
Excellent. Okay, so that's GTA Online heist then. So let's talk about some other cool stuff that's happened this week. My personal favorite thing that's happened is the second Daredevil trailer drop.
Daredevil.
It's so good. Like, I have to, like, I'm a massive Daredevil fan. When I was growing up, he was always my Batman. For me.
Really?
Like, yeah, I was always Daredevil. I was always sort of got made fun of it as well because everyone else loved Batman. I loved Daredevil, and they were like, "Look at the Batman movies, it's amazing." I was like, "One day someone's going to make an amazing Daredevil film," and then they announced it.
And then the Ben Affleck one.
Yeah.
God damn! That's the thing. At the beginning, when it first happened, I thought, "Yeah, Ben Affleck." At the time, like, his stock was pretty good, and I knew that he was a lot of my graphic novels have like Ben Affleck intros for them because he's like a massive Daredevil fan.
Right.
Like, he knows the character inside out. Then the film is what it is. Yeah. Like, it's terrible. But the first trailer for the Netflix series has all been released on one day. But the first trailer didn't really grab me that much, and I thought it was okay, but it looked like a sort of...
I completely agree with... Because I was just doing some editing earlier, and I was like, okay, I need to put up the new Daredevil trailer. And I accidentally picked the first one. Mm. I was watching it, and I was like, is this right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is right. And then, of course, I found the second one.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it is a lot of like the similar footage that they used in the first one, but just the way it's piled together and it's completely done, it's so much different. Mm. It's so much better as well.
Yeah, it's from the perspective of the Kingpin, which we hadn't really seen that much of.
Looked really cool.
So it's Vincent D'Onofrio, and he's playing the Kingpin. So it took me ages to realize it's actually his voice as the voiceover on the trailer as well.
Okay.
So it's him sort of talking, and he's sort of, that's a really interesting thing because he's saying things that could be from the perspective of Matt Murdock and Daredevil, but it's coming out of sort of Kingpin's mouth.
Talking about the city.
That's right.
So, I thought it was really interesting. Because it's like talking about the city and how it's a part of him and how he needs to change it. And then you do just assume it's Daredevil, but then it shows you him it's great. It's a nice, like, interesting way to pull that twist on people.
Yeah, but that's the thing. But the first trailer for me, like, it looked, because I'm not a huge fan of like Arrow and Flash, I know you are, but like they're so just Gennaro superhero.
Yeah,
like,
they are.
It could be anyone.
Yeah.
Gennaro.
Whereas the first trailer looked like that. But the second one looks like it's going to be a little bit different. There's a lot of court. There's a couple of like courtroom sequences in it.
Yeah.
And I just think that's where they have to get it really, really right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if they get Matt Murdock and the case is in the day right, then, you know, he can do whatever he wants as Daredevil, I think. But you really have to get Matt Murdock like bang on.
Yeah.
And it looks like they are.
I know nothing about Daredevil.
Really?
He's blind. So that's the start.
Is he? I've got a bunch of graphic novels.
Do you not know that?
Like, yeah.
No.
What?
Oh, I just said I know nothing about Daredevil.
I thought he was sarcastic. He's blind.
So
yeah.
He's a blind lawyer,
right?
Who was blinded as a kid by some toxic waste. It was, you know, everything was toxic waste then.
That is ridiculous.
But it's
there are so many other things you could be blinded by.
It's very believable though. But the toxic. But it's done really well in Man Without Fear. Man Without Fear is better than Year One, I think.
Okay.
Like, I've always thought
that. A bold statement.
That's a bold statement, but it's a correct statement, so it's fine. I'll bring Mammon up for you and so you can...
It's your opinion.
I wish it was something like he got squirted with like fairy liquid as a child, and that's made him blind.
Well,
something like a household appliance. Bleach, Someone just poked
that's
him really awesome. Hard in
his
the face.
His senses get
his Achilles
sort
heel.
Of heightened as well.
What, through toxic waste?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, that's horse crackers.
But not just through toxic waste. There's something in him that's always been there, and he's just, you know, he's born to be legendary.
Okay.
It's really good.
I'm sure
you just
it
gotta,
is.
You just gotta go there.
Yeah. But I'll bring it in for you so you can have a read and then maybe see if you think it's better than Year One.
Horse crackers.
As if.
Yeah.
But I think it looks really, really good. And, you know, it's the first Marvel thing that's coming out on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's introducing like a lot of characters that, you know, could cross over into other things. We're not really sure.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be
certainly
a really
the
thing.
Signs are all there that's going to be positive. Are you going to binge watch the whole thing?
Me and Kruber were talking about this and we don't know what to do.
I say binge it. I think it's a good idea.
But
you've certainly got the time on your hands. I don't.
I've binged stuff before. Like I binge watched the first House of Cards, like in, you know, however long it took me. I just sat down and watched the entire thing, the first season. And I loved that. I tried doing the same thing with the second one. Didn't really like doing it that way. And like Arrested Development, I tried doing that. We had Arrested Development party. Got to like episode 8 and we were like, this is a bit much.
Right.
Like, so I'm not. Yeah. I don't want to wreck it for myself, basically.
I'm not a huge fan of binge watching stuff.
Yeah.
I think maybe 2 to 3 episodes.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of a break.
If it's good, like I'll sit down and watch something.
If you want to keep watching
forever.
Yeah.
The last thing that really grabbed me like that was the first season of Broadchurch.
Okay.
Because I didn't see that at all.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that
same
was
here,
like,
yeah.
Oh my god, I've got to see the next episode. Yeah. See the next episode.
Yeah, I watched 4 and 4. I watched 4 on Monday, 4 on Tuesday, yeah. And then started the new series, which is just utter gash.
If there's a show that while you're watching it, you don't feel guilty
that's
about
right.
wasting your day, that's yeah. the sign of a good show.
As
soon
know,
as you get to that,
like,
should I watch another one? I like feel kind of bad that I have spent like 5 hours
yeah,
in
I don't
my
know.
Bed on a Saturday.
There was a time when my girlfriend at the time went away with work for a month, and yeah, and I had just discovered that you can get US Netflix in the UK, and
boy.
I saw Friday Night Lights, and someone always talked to me about Friday Night Lights and how it was good. And every five seasons were on there.
Yeah.
And like I remember it's like starting it like maybe like just how I got from work, maybe like 7 o'clock, something like that. And like it was 10 to 9 in the morning.
Right.
And I had to just go to work.
Oh my God.
Because I'd gone through so much of it.
Yeah.
And it was just awful. I was properly obsessed with that show. I watched 5 seasons in a week.
Yeah. Well, Netflix is like, the worst for that as well because they just run into each other.
Yeah.
Like they just constantly
although
stream,
they have started doing that thing now where they pop up going, are you still watching Frasier? Yeah. Like,
are
yes,
you
I'm
sure you want to continue to waste your day? Yeah, exactly.
Because it was simple, like when I was freelance and I first went freelance, I didn't actually do any work.
Yeah.
I think I was catching up on 24 and I can't remember what season it was, maybe season 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I had season 2 and 3 and 4 on DVD, box sets.
It's hard, isn't it?
And I would watch, because it had 4 episodes per DVD, and I'd literally lie on the sofa. And the only time I'd get up was when I had to change the DVDs.
Oh, it's so sad.
And my missus would go to work at 8. And about kind of 10 to 6, I'd go, geez, we best get dressed.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, darling, I've been so busy today.
Ooh, I've done so many words, you wouldn't believe. Can I see some of them? No, not really.
I've emailed them and deleted them, yeah. That's
yeah
the way,
you wouldn't
the way
want to see
work.
That, it's fine. So, yeah, I don't know. Me and Krupa have talked about what we're going to do, like, because we thought about, is there something we could do, like, something cool we could do at work and,
yeah,
like, something with that? Like, do, like, watch it and do a conversation after each one. But I don't think we've decided, even as, like, an entire website, what we're going to do to
no,
cover it yet. So
I do think that a lot of people will just blitz through it.
Yeah.
You should watch them all back to back, blindfolded. So there you go, and then you can only perceive it as Daredevil perceives it.
Maybe there's something,
and then write a review blindfolded.
Maybe there's something the podcast people can help us with, like how you actually want to see stuff like that covered.
Yeah.
Because as I watched loads of the reviews coming in for House of Cards, House of Cards came out last weekend, and people were doing it sort of episode by episode, which kind of makes sense. But then it seems like we haven't adapted as critics to.
No.
That kind of way of doing it, because
we're behind the conversation that other people are having.
Exactly, yeah. And
my gut is that you go through the whole season and you pull out the kind of main talking points for the whole thing.
Mm.
But, you know, you've got to be very careful of spoilers and
exactly.
Well, that's
human
well,
with that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll have a think about it.
They can let us know. IGN_UK feedback.
That's right.
At IGN.com.
How would you like us to cover Daredevil?
Yes.
Do it.
Blindfolded.
Another trailer came out as well, Game of Thrones, the brand new episode for season Thrones,
that
which
looks
very,
so
very
good. I was just telling Alex that I find it kind of hard to enjoy the trailer because every now and again I'll see a shot from the season that was shot on my local beach.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. You wouldn't think you would recognize something like that, but it's like a sand dune or something. And
I
like,
think you
I
would
know
recognize
that.
It.
I recognize that sand dune.
I know that sand dune. I spent many years as a child.
To June.
A dune? A sand dune, you would say?
I would, yes.
That's weird.
That's quite cool, though. Like, I like almost all of, like, Sherlock and Doctor Who, which I don't watch, but I do watch Sherlock, is filmed in Cardiff.
Is it?
But it's meant to be, like, London. Yeah. So you see some stuff now and again, you're like, ooh, we're walking down London town. Like, that's Cardiff.
Is that
that's
how they
direct
talk
dialogue,
the
actually, Sherlock, from the latest season.
That's a perfect London accent.
Is it?
I think, because it is weird when you see, if you see something like Cities and things like that, I think it's just so jarring because it's literally like a tiny little remote beach on the north coast.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Of Northern Ireland. Yeah. It's weird that you don't think anyone else would ever like go there.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's definitely cool. And I mean, the trailer's amazing. The
trailer's
looks
really
fantastic.
Good as well.
Dragons.
It's all from the perspective of Khaleesi. But like, you guys watch Game of Thrones? And I couldn't remember. I've never read the books or anything. I couldn't remember. So the last time we saw Khaleesi, she's locking up two dragons, is that right? And one of the dragons has gone off, so she's a bit afraid, so she locks up two. So presumably the one that's in the thing is the one that's come back to her.
Yeah. Well, yeah, good point.
They're getting pretty big.
Yeah.
So this is the problem I have with Game of Thrones, because most of the kind of series do a, you know, where are we now?
Yeah.
And I always forget with Game of Thrones, because so much is going on anyway.
Yeah.
And I've said to my missus, this year I'm going to watch at least the last episode of the last series to at least try and refresh my memory.
Definitely.
Oh,
yeah. I think you sort of have to.
I can remember the big kind of assault on the wall, which was badass.
Well, now Stannis is up there.
Yeah.
Stannis Baratheon. Yeah. He's up in the north. Yeah. So I think he's going to try and like take it over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to watch it again.
Yeah, I might. In fact, what I might do is watch it without my missus knowing, because she'll just spend the whole thing going, who's that? What's going on?
She doesn't like
here?
Game of Thrones.
No, she does like it, but she wants to know the answer to something before you've been given that answer.
Oh, yeah,
no. Oh, yeah. It's like, just wait patiently.
Yeah, I couldn't handle that.
The only problem I had with it, the whole, like, first two seasons, I found it so difficult to remember people's names.
Yeah.
So then I'd be talking to people about the show, but I had all these, like, fill-in names that I had been using for so long that they became people's names.
Sean Bean Throne.
Yeah, exactly.
I call him Throne, so just like Little Throne, Blonde Throne.
Yeah, so I had Asshole King, Beheaded Man,
Burnt
Face Man.
Joffrey is easy to remember.
He's Asshole King,
Burnt Face Man.
Burnt Face Man.
Yeah.
Princess Cleavage as well was one of them. just like, I just made up like all these names because I'm so bad. Little Finger. I knew that one. That one was easy. Yeah.
Little Finger.
He's an odd
one. $1 million dollars for Westeros.
He started off as like my favorite character and in the last series became my least favorite character just because I think, I don't know who was on directing duties for that, but or like continuity things. But his accent was just
all over the place.
I just couldn't handle it. Every time he came to me, he'd be like talking like a little cartoon leprechaun. And the next time, he'd be like a weird sort of nondescript Midlands accent.
Yeah.
And then when you come back to him again, he'd be sort of American.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was like, maybe it's a purpose thing. He's like, he's playing so many games.
I don't think
like
he's got so many faces.
He's got so many faces.
Wow. So many little fingers.
That he can't keep track of himself and this is his undoing. I don't think that's what it is.
I think
this is a poor actor. Yeah. But I don't know what's going on. But I'm super excited because I
cannot wait for it.
I don't know anything about it. Like, I watched the big sort of like one-on-one fight with the Mountain and the Viper. I watched that with four people who had read the books.
Right.
And they said they weren't even watching the show. They were watching me because
I
was like, yes, he's definitely going to win.
Oh, and
they were
so
just
good.
Sort of just like hanging back going, you wait. And then when what happens happened, they were just looking at me and I was just like, it was like, that was a man destroyed.
That was
a really
one of the
good
biggest
fight.
Shocks
well,
I've
spoilers,
seen
yeah,
in
you
a,
should,
TV
yeah,
show.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, but even the way it was handled, it's
awful.
Oh my God.
It's like, it builds you up as if you're like, but like, you shouldn't trust Game of Thrones at that point.
I know.
Never trust them. And
if
then,
anything looks like it's a sure thing, that the only sure thing is that it's going to be pulled away from you like at the last minute.
That sucked.
That was a good twist. I liked it.
Another cool thing that's happened this week as well is they've just announced the new Secret Cinema and it's going to be Empire Strikes Back.
That is awesome.
It's very cool, yeah. Have you ever done, did you know what a Secret Cinema is or you've never been to one?
I did know what it was, but I have never been to one. But it sounds really cool.
I've been to quite a lot of them now. I went to the Back to the Future one last year.
I wish I had gone to that one.
For people who don't know what Secret Cinema is, it's basically a company and they take a film, they show a screening of it, but they take over like an area of London and completely sort of, like last year, themed it. Yeah. So they themed it around Back to the Future. So they recreated Hill Valley and had a giant sort of clock tower, which they projected the film onto.
Oh my God,
actually,
that sounds
the
amazing.
The one that I went to, Bob Gale was there as well. So he came and sort of introduced it, which is amazing.
So, like, where was it? Was it in a part of a disused part of London?
Yeah,
or was it during the day? People just their houses?
No. So it's in a giant sort of car park in Hackney. So
they'd actually built these places.
Yeah, well, it was like a giant area. I think it was in the Olympic Park. I think I had to go to Stratford for it.
Right.
But they basically had this giant area and built sort of like a mini festival. It's exactly the same way that you would go about building a festival, I guess, but sort of a little bit more controlled. But much stuff happens.
Does it run for like a whole day, or is it just running events?
Yeah, it runs for ages. Okay. So they have one show in sort of every day.
Awesome.
Which I think we went in at about 4:00. And then the movie came on at like 9:00. Yeah. So there's so much to do there.
That's cool. And Back to the Future one would have been great as well.
It was awesome. Because they had a DeLorean that was actually going around, and they had you're watching the movie, and then bits of the film happen live. So you have like stuff, because they had the clock tower there.
Yeah.
They had the DeLorean going around the thing, and then it disappears, and it like leaves a trail of flames. And actually, like, it's going to obviously British weather, but as it started raining in the film, it started raining in real life.
Wow.
Like, it was so crazy.
It outdoors?
That's amazing.
It's outdoors, yeah, unfortunately. And it goes on whatever happens as well. Yeah, so you have to sort of plan for that. But you're given a character that, you know, helps you sort of decide what to dress up as. So, like, I think I was an egg. I worked on the farm, so I was an egg sort of looker after. I can't think of the word.
An egg looker after.
Wait,
egg looker after.
I don't.
A chicken?
A chicken carer?
No,
I don't know.
Like, I worked on a farm, basically. Right. Yeah, looker after.
What does that have to do with Back to the Future?
It's lots of 50s and stuff like that. So like some of the stuff was
egg farmers in Back to the Future. But, I thought you were going to say lots of
artistic license.
Yeah.
But then there was like loads of stuff like there was like a diner scene, and the diner scene that happens in the movie happened while we were there, and like George McFly's in there with Marty before the movie starts and stuff like that, and they redone this diner, so it was like a 50s diner, and you can go and eat. But there's also like little almost like they're not fetch quests because it's not a game, but it was almost like that. There was sort of me and another friend were just walking up to try and find a bar, and a girl came over and was just like in sort of 50s dress going, I can't find my Johnny, and we were like, Who's Johnny? He's like, he's going off to war. I need to find him. Like, if you find him, can you give him this and give me like a bit of paper? She was like, I'm gonna be in the dance, like the Enchantment of the Sea dance. So if you find him, please come and bring him to me. And we were like, okay, fine. So she went off, and I actually went with her. And a friend of mine sort of was like, just went off and tried to find this Johnny guy. So I went with her, and she was like, opened up her locker and was giving us like sips of booze out of her locker things.
Right.
Then we went to the dance. As we were getting into the dance, my friend found Johnny or a Johnny. I guess it must have been loads of them.
Yeah.
Brought him over, and then it was just like, I found Johnny. And like reunited them. They started like smooching and stuff, and everyone's like, yay! Like finding and stuff.
So Johnny stole your girl, is what I'm hearing. Johnny
pretty much, yeah. But I mean, he was an army man. I wasn't gonna stop him.
Don't want to get in the way of
that. But in terms of Empire Strikes Back, we were talking about like what setting is it going to be? Like, it'd be amazing if
that'd
it was
be
like
really cool.
Hoth.
If they can do that much with just, you know, setting it in the past, setting it in the future, like imagine the
in
possibilities.
Space.
Yeah, it could be. Oh,
I don't know. Like, I don't know how
it's just weightlessness.
Everyone's just Myers.
I think when I first saw it in my head, I started thinking like logistically, because Hoth is amazing, obviously.
Yeah.
Dagobah would be really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be Sky City.
You think Bespin?
Yeah.
Really?
It's pretty dull.
But it's pretty doable.
I know, but that's not the point.
I know it's not the point.
It doesn't sound like that, is there?
Hoth sounds like the coolest place.
Yeah. So what
just
I
put, like, you know, polystyrene chips all on the floor.
Well, would Hoth even be the coolest thing? That's just, it'd just be like Winter Wonderland. It'd just be snowy.
But that's wouldn't like, also
no, I'm talking about the Rebel base.
Yeah.
Not just.
I thought you were just like throw like artificial snow everywhere
and stuff like that,
and
then
Santa Claus.
Like walkers and.
Okay,
if they do a Rebel base, we have to go down and do a live Rebel base, Star Wars Rebel base, our weekly Star Wars show every Thursday.
Base.
In a Rebel base, exactly, but I think maybe because there's so many cool bits, they have different sections, because it was just Hill Valley in this. But a lot of Back to the Future is in Hill Valley. It's always there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can sort of understand that. So I thought maybe they'll have different sections that'll sort of go into each other.
I think
other.
They will, probably.
But it's all outside. Yeah. Well, some of them being outside, some of them actually being inside as well.
Yeah.
So I went to one that was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and that was an inside thing, and you sort of treated as inmates and things like that.
Cool.
I think they've done one like Shawshank Redemption that was similar to that as well. But yeah, maybe they'll just have a giant warehouse and completely do it out like Rebel Base.
I'm just imagining like you get there and C-3PO comes up and's like, oh, have you seen my R2-D2? And then
happen.
You have to go on like a little quest to find the robot.
Like, yeah. You know, the Falcon there or something like that, and it's parked inside the giant worm or something.
That would be cool when they're like incorporating live action into the movie, like with Star Wars, because there's so many like big action scenes and things. You could do some really cool stuff
riding
with that.
Riding around on Tauntauns.
Exactly.
You know, like the kind of Bernie Clifton legs in the...
with the little Halloween, yo.
I totally do that.
Well, they're really
an awesome costume. Yeah.
They are really, really good at... they are really, really good at making good use of space. I saw another one, which is Ghostbusters, and they'd taken like the hotel, like where they were one of the sort of things that happens in. They've taken the entire hotel, redone it, and so they had the cinema. They had the screen there, which was in the middle of the hotel, and every time something was happening, you'd see Ghostbusters running around and things. And for the final sort of showdown with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, they were standing like shooting the screen with these lasers and stuff,
right.
And then a giant actual Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was like came behind them,
right.
And it turned into like a little dance party, and you could dance at the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Could you eat him?
I didn't.
Was he edible? No. That would have been my first.
But speaking of Ghostbusters,
we've
split this up into cool stuff that's happened, not so cool stuff that happened. Mm. I've put this under not so cool stuff.
So it was you that put this?
That's right.
I've been ripping
on
Alex.
I don't even know the story.
I thought it was you. And we also had a bit of
feedback from Cameron McCulloch Keeble, who said, what are your thoughts on the Ghostbusters cinematic universe thing? So it was basically announced this week that Channing Tatum and possibly Chris Pratt, possibly Dan Aykroyd, are working on a male version of the Ghostbusters. It was announced very recently that Paul Feig, is it? I always confuse him and Kevin Feige, but that guy, anyway, the bridesmaids dude, is working on an all-female Ghostbusters, which I think sounds really, really cool. It's a new way of doing it and stuff like that. There was a bit of outroar from idiots on the internet saying that they you know, Ghostbusters have to be female, all just different, like, absolutely
really old people.
Really old people hated it. And now this week it was announced that they're working on a male Ghostbusters as well. Now, there's two things with this. So a lot of people are focusing on the fact that they're doing this male Ghostbusters as if it's a reaction to the bad sort of the feedback they've had from different people.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then that's awful and they shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I think there's a little bit more to it. And they're basically saying that they're expanding the Ghostbusters universe.
Yeah.
So there's going to be different Ghostbusters teams going on. That sounds rubbish.
Yeah.
If that's true. Because
both ideas sound a bit
rubbish.
I don't know. I think both of the films, both the teams could, you know, coexist happily in one universe.
Why?
That's the question.
Well,
why?
This is it. Yeah. Literally, if it hadn't have been if it was anyone else except for Dan Aykroyd, Chris Pratt and Channing Tatum. I like all those actors.
Chris Pratt's not confirmed, but he's one of the people that's sort of attached to it.
I think it's all about the people. So I know there was like the kind of outrage and people were like, I don't like female Ghostbusters.
That's right, yeah.
I wasn't too enthusiastic about it, but only because of the actresses.
The backlash,
I haven't seen Bridesmaids, so I don't want to get too into it because apparently that...
You should, it's awesome.
Yeah,
Is great, yeah.
Yeah.
I probably would have gone for like Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, like more like that. Kind of group, because I think that's good. But I think it's kind of as you said, it's like if this is due to reaction because of this, then
it must
it's not
be
great.
Though. Like they can paint it up as saying that they're expanding the universe. They're in New York.
Yeah.
Like there's no ghost
downtown New York.
Ghosts aren't just in New York.
Yeah,
maybe they've expanded. It's a franchise. It's like Starbucks.
I think that's what it is. I think they're trying to build a franchise. And if you can secure like four solid female leads and four solid male leads, then hopefully probably their ideal is that now they're appealing to everyone. And
I don't think I don't trust them that that's what happened. I think as a reaction to all the idiot fanboys on the internet going crazy about it, they've gone, oh, okay, we'll make a boy one as well.
Well, Dan Aykroyd has talked in the past, I think even before the female Ghostbusters was announced, that it was still a possibility that they would be making another male Ghostbusters. He said it a number of times. So, I mean, that it could be something that has been on the back burner.
Yeah.
It's only kind of coming out now with the announcement of the female team.
Yeah. Look, if it's not Bill Murray, I don't care. Right. So...
Yeah, is he going to come into this one?
No, he's not interested at all.
No way.
Yeah.
Bill, what are you doing?
Also, I didn't think Ghostbusters 2 was very good.
It's all right.
I thought it was pretty good.
There's good bits in it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of awful bits in it.
The pink stuff.
It's hard to beat the first as well. Like, you nailed it. It's perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that.
So good.
Yeah, another not so cool thing that has happened as well. Uncharted 4 has been delayed.
Yeah, so Naughty Dog announced this week that it's gone back till spring next year.
That's gutting. Where was it meant to be? It was meant to be Christmas.
It's coming out this year.
Yeah.
2015. But the reason being is to make it better.
Yeah.
So the Naughty Dog guys commented on the PlayStation blog that basically their ideas for the game were more ambitious than they originally thought.
And that's good.
Which is good, but at the same time, you've been making games for quite a long time. You should have a rough idea of how long it takes to do stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, but...
Well, as people cased, The Last of Us was delayed for 6 months or so. I think it was quite a substantial amount of time. And it paid off, absolutely. Yeah. So hopefully it's a similar kind of thing.
Because this is going to be, obviously, the climax of the Nathan Drake story.
Mm-hmm.
They want it...
Perfect.
They want to give him the kind of fitting end, which I totally understand.
I completely understand.
And
it's,
you know, it's only... Yeah, it's going to be sort of 4 to 6 months.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's not that bad.
What's and with the amount of problems we've had with launches and games, I think it's definitely worth just putting the time in. And
yeah,
as long as it's not like a Project Cars thing.
Yeah, well, Naughty Dog don't put out unfinished games.
Yeah.
So
I think that's the first time anyone's talked about Project Cars in the same sort of breath as Naughty Dog. that's sort of doing a tiny bit of disservice to Naughty Dog, I think. But I think that, what's that famous Miyamoto quote? It's like, a delayed game is delayed for a couple of months, a bad game is bad forever.
Yeah.
I love his... He had a great quote. Someone posted it in the comments, and it was like, comparing talking to girls with talking to cats. A lot of good quotes from that guy. He's a genius.
What's the actual quote?
I think it was... I think it was...
Yeah, if you don't know the quote, that's not
I think
good.
It was something like, it's like talking with girls is like talking to cats. If a cat comes up and talks to you, then it's always great. But if you talk to a cat, it's not always great. So, words of wisdom.
I feel like you're paraphrasing that, and I think I need to go and read what his actual quote is.
Well, incidentally, it is tattooed on my back, so if you can just take a glance there.
But it's all back to front when you read it, which is why you can't quite remember.
Yeah.
The translation may be a little off.
Another not-so-cool thing that happened this week, and it's really sad, actually. Sam Simon, one of the co-creators of The Simpsons, died. I felt this. I really did, because I've been going back through, like, seasons 1 to 11 of The Simpsons, like sporadically, and just
how many seasons have there been now?
So many. There's
a ridiculous amount. Like, there are more bad episodes than there are good episodes now.
Yeah,
but I've started judging it because whatever way my life is timed right now, when I get home, I know that there's like 3 episodes of The Simpsons. Like, as soon as I get in the door. Yeah. And I can always tell whether I want to watch it or not because of the aspect ratio of the episode.
To be honest, Sam Simon obviously started The Simpsons. You know, he's with Matt Groening and James L. Brooks. Like, so he's responsible for bringing some of the best episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But then there have been a lot of really really bad episodes as well. But it just got me sort of thinking about some of my favorite episodes, which because I've hit season 9 and I think it's just untouchable as a comedy thing. Season 9 is like the Mountain of Madness episode where Homer and Mr. Burns are stuck in the cabin. The gay episode where they meet John Waters. You Only Move Twice, where they get Hank Scorpio in. And I think that episode is just probably my favorite, I think.
Hank Scorpio was fantastic.
Like, that entire series is just bulletproof, I think.
Yeah.
And it just sort of made me really appreciate them.
Yeah.
Again. So go home right now and watch season 9 of The Simpsons. Go watch Hank Scorpio and pour one out for Sam Simon.
Right. Shall we move on to feedback? I'll read the first piece, which is from Darry Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
London IMAX are doing all-nighter showing of all 3 Christopher Nolan Batman films.
Okay.
What would be your ultimate movie marathon?
Not that.
Ooh.
Ready?
Yeah.
You're not a fan of...
I love Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I think Batman Begins... I think watching Batman Begins with... I'd watch Batman Begins, then watch Dark Knight Rises. Because I think Dark Knight Rises is a better sequel to Batman Begins than it is to Dark Knight. I think Dark Knight almost sits by itself.
Right.
Except for the Two-Face stuff right at the end.
Yeah.
I think it almost sits apart from those. Because I remember when I sat down to watch Dark Knight Rises, at the end I thought... some good stuff in it, but
you don't like it?
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was as good as, although, because I didn't,
it's not
I didn't
as good
feel,
as Dark Knight.
No
I didn't
way.
Feel Dark Knight. well, all right, I don't belong here. I thought it was all right. I kind of fell into the group of people who thought the Joker was a little overrated. I didn't really get behind it too much.
It was amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So fun to watch.
It's a good film.
But then I also really really like Bane.
Yeah. I think I just I got on a bit more Bane.
I think he's terrifying in a way that I wasn't ever scared of the Joker, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, in the Joker, I thought it was funny. I thought he was sort of unhinged, and I liked that sort of thing. But for me, he was almost like a sort of like Freddy Krueger type character, where you know that this guy is a really, really bad dude, but you really, really like watching him.
Yeah.
Whereas with Bane, I was actually afraid of him.
Yeah.
Like, and actually afraid of some of the stuff that he was doing. And there's like one of my favorite scenes in it when he's got his hand just on the guy's shoulder.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name is now. Doggett. Is it Doggett?
I don't know.
Anyway, that guy anyway. The guy who's doing some really bad stuff. The sort of like powerful millionaire guy. And there's an amazing scene where he's just like, I'm in control of the situation. Yeah. He's got his hand on his shoulder. He's like, do you feel in control?
Yeah.
It's such a cool scene. Cool. Like, I was terrified of Bane.
Yeah.
The best part was after Dark Knight Rises was just the 2 weeks that followed where everyone was doing Bane impressions.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to do Bane
That was
voices.
Good, was it?
Speaking into a pocket glass.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of...
Well, what would your perfect all-nighter be?
You adopted the darkness. I was born in it.
That's not too bad, actually.
There you go.
What would your perfect all-nighter of movies be?
Well, it's obvious, but Star Wars, original trilogy.
Original trilogy,
Or Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, my God, yeah. Because I was going to say Back to the Future.
Yeah.
But Indiana Jones...
See, I never saw Raiders at the cinema. And I've never seen Raiders at the cinema.
The only time I've seen Raiders at the cinema is when I saw... The remake.
Right. So this fan film.
Yeah.
Not quite the same.
Not quite the same, no.
And you weren't quite the same.
Yeah,
I wasn't
changed.
Quite the same. Yeah, so basically there was a fan film that was made, and IGN 5 years ago in 2010.
A long time ago.
Put on the screening of it, and like it was one of the only screenings
in Leicester Square. Like,
in Leicester Square. And I went down with a friend, and afterwards there were people in there, like, I guess it must have been you, like Stuart Reed or something like that.
I was there that night.
Oh, were you? Yeah, okay.
Stuart would have been there.
Yeah. Chris must have been you guys doing the video.
Yeah, maybe.
Chris
yeah.
wasn't there, but...
I was definitely there, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I got interviewed afterwards asking me what I thought about it, and it was only... I completely forgot that I'd done that. I remember being at the screening, but I completely forgot being interviewed. And then Chris found the video the other day, because now they're releasing a documentary about those guys.
Right.
And Chris found that... thing the other day, so you can see like a very, very, very pre-IGN.
I did not recognize you.
I look absolutely far. I look like I've eaten myself now. That's what I look like. I posted up on my Facebook, and someone, one of my like best friends, wrote underneath like, "Did you used to be a mole back then?" Because that's what I look like. I look like a cartoon mole. But I think I would do. I would take Back to the Future 1.
Yep.
Oh no, because I want Raiders in it. I was trying to be clever and be like, first Back to the Future, second Star Wars, third Indiana Jones. But I'd want first Back to the Future, second Star Wars, first.
Oh, I don't know. I love Last Crusade. I love Last Crusade.
But if you were like, right, you've only got enough time to watch one movie, what would you watch? I'd watch Raiders.
I don't know. That's tight.
I think I'd have to watch Raiders. That's just such a classic, and there's so many moments in that film that just completely personify like Indiana Jones.
But like,
I mean,
like Sean Connery, and that the relationship there is amazing. Even like River Phoenix as the young Indiana Jones, it's just played so brilliantly.
I think that's like true. another like, I can't think of the third one for it, but I'm trying to think of like movies that just go well together.
Yeah.
And I think like something like There Will Be Blood, No Country for Old Men, and like maybe like The Road as well. Like
these are heavy
films.
These are
like,
heavy films.
Exactly,
to
it's
watch
a heavy
back
sort
back.
Of thing. Yeah. And I think maybe those three would be quite good together. But one thing that I want to see, it's not a movie thing, but I really, really want to see it, is like the best X-Files, like Monster of the Week episodes.
Right.
So you watch all those in a big back-to-back thing.
Yeah.
So like everything that scared you from the X-Files.
Yeah. God, there was some really scary stuff.
Exactly. And you watch like, you know, 15 episodes back-to-back of the most scary stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
I've just started watching Watchmen.
Okay.
For the first time ever. I've never seen it before.
What, the movie?
The movie, yeah.
Yeah.
You just started watching it?
Well, I'm watching it on my iPad. And I was about an hour in. I thought, okay, God, don't seem to have got far in this story. How long left? Two hours, 7 minutes. So I was like, oh my God.
It's worth it, though. Man. It's good.
Is it?
I like it.
It's pretty slow.
Yeah.
The final act where everything's kind of coming together is worth it.
Okay.
It's really good.
I actually prefer, this is probably, I'll get shot for this, but I actually prefer, because they change quite a lot of the ending of the movie to the comic. I actually prefer the movie ending to the comic ending.
Wow.
I think the comic ending.
That is a bold thing.
I think the comic ending is mental. And it was one of the only things I just couldn't get on with in the comic. I love Watchmen, but I just couldn't get on with that at all.
Okay.
And I think the movie ending is a lot, I don't know, it's a lot bleaker and it's a lot more controlled. It's a lot more boring.
Yeah.
But it sort of fits the movie a little bit better. If it's a movie
world,
I think.
Was the comic one like something crazy with Mr. Manhattan or something?
You have to sort of see it. It's if you've just seen the movie.
Yeah, because that's all I really.
It doesn't even
really
exist.
Know.
So listeners, if you want to send your hate mail in, it's ign_ukfeedback@ign.com.
Yeah, actually, you guys can tell us what your three movies would be. We should do that night. We'll do like a little poll thing and then we'll host it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Film night.
Boom. Done. So do you want to do your bits?
Yeah. You guys thought my name was cool. This one comes from Tom Thunderhorse Clow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Clough, I believe that
Clough?
Is.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't. you give me the email that's one line and I can't
what,
get it right.
What was that? Jesus.
It was McLeod.
The last time we were on
the
podcast.
We don't need to bring this back up on the podcast.
Oh, bless you.
Thoughts on Forza and Fast and Furious crossover, and should that be made more than just DLC?
It should be its own game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I was looking at this, the first thing that came to mind was that, although it's never really appealed to me personally, the Fast and the Furious franchise is enormous. Yeah. It is huge.
You know, I'm Fast and the Furious.
Not really.
I love them.
I don't really get it.
Yeah. Any of them? Neither is Krupa. What is wrong with you people?
I don't remember.
Because
any
it's
of them.
It's one of the. I guess it's. Would you describe it as a guilty pleasure?
No.
Oh, okay.
I would describe it as.
Just a pleasure.
Seven badass films. Or six badass films. I'm still seven, yeah.
Gav's trilogy, Fast and the Furious.
I don't know, there's something about them. They're not rubbish, but they're so silly and over the top, yeah. But they're unashamedly so.
Okay.
But they're so entertaining
right.
That I don't think it ever matters.
So
like,
I have seen some of the first one.
Okay, yeah.
But
it changes so much. It really evolves because the first one is sort of like boy racery and you know, it's a bit sort of rubbish. It gets more deeper and deeper, and like I love Vin Diesel, like absolutely love him. The man could do no wrong in my eyes. If you've ever feeling down, go to his Facebook page because it's amazing.
Really? Why?
He puts up these like amazing like quotes with like pictures of himself just looking amazing with like a blue sort of filter on it, and he'll just come up with the most like stupid quote about like you know loving yourself and loving the world and all this different thing. But it's amazing. It's so good. Like now and again, he'll just post a video of himself up just dancing to a song, but like really getting into it. There'll be no reason for it. He'll just be on his webcam like, dancing, and then you can see him walk over to the webcam, press stop, run record, and then he just uploads it. Just uploads it. Like. He's so good on Facebook.
I'm imagining a picture now of Vin Diesel and then a little caption. It's just like, talking with girls is like talking with cats.
No, he's cooler than that. Also, I don't think Vin Diesel spends a lot of time talking to girls.
Oh.
Yeah. But the films are amazing. And I think the DLC is a really, really cool idea. Like,
yeah.
I love Forza Horizon. It's one of my favorite racing games. And I don't think that studio would do something if they didn't think it was worth doing and they didn't think it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of in the same mode as you, Alex. I definitely think it could be a lot more than a DLC.
Yeah.
Depending on how substantial it is. If it's just a little bit of story, maybe some cars that appear in the film. I mean, you could...
Well, Ludacris is in it. You play Ludacris, his character.
In the DLC,
yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like things like that, I think they could make it much bigger than just DLC. I think it could be a standalone title.
Obviously, like those guys are actually working on actual game and stuff, though. So I would rather see this and see something using like the Forza Horizon engine, or the Forza engine.
Yeah.
I'd rather see something like DLC that costs, you know, like £20, and it's just a couple of new maps, a couple of new like cars and stuff. I think if you then have to pad that out into a full game, that's when... I think a studio like this might go, that's a lot of work for this amount of work.
Yeah.
We could just make another game for ourselves, to be honest. So, you know.
This could always just be something to test the waters, see how well this is received, and then, you know, if it is.
I like it, though. It's fun. We've seen quite a lot of stuff like that happening because, you know, game tie-ins are always pretty rubbish unless they're Lego. But then, like, Broforce did one for Expendables 3 or whichever Expendables it was. And, like, Broforce is, like, little side-scrolling, like, action shooter thing.
That is a great name.
It's cool. Have you not played it?
No.
Oh,
no.
You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. It's so up your street. It's so American. It's ridiculous.
Sounds awesome. I love Broforce already, so that sounds great.
Even though that you're not really American.
We're going to get into this. We almost made it the whole podcast.
We're not.
You couldn't.
But all the characters have got, like, stupid names with the word bro in it. So
oh my God.
It'll be like, I can't even think
this
what it is.
This is literally me. Well, my name on the IGN thing is Rory Bro. Yeah.
I don't know if I think it's this, but it's like Sylvester Brostone and stuff like that.
I love this.
But they did a standalone little game that was like tying with Expendables 3. And it was really, really good.
Yeah.
It was good fun. So yeah, I think
Rambo
it's a cool
game,
idea.
Not so much.
No, definitely not. That was awful, yeah. So I've got a cool bit of feedback, and this is the last bit. It says, Duck Hunt, just wanted to say just wanted to say you guys have been playing an absolute blinder lately with an amazing run of guests and really insightful interviews with them.
Yes.
Even without any extra added guests, the IGN podcast is still my favorite to listen to, but it's been incredibly interesting to hear from the minds behind the creation, especially if you're a fan from the outside looking in, be able to peek behind the curtain a little and hear directly from the maker the process involved is bringing a piece of work to life. That's pretty cool. But I guess what I really wanted was help set in a very heated debate here. How should ketchup be stored? In a fridge or in a cupboard? And that's from Ricky Bidness.
This could divide us.
In the fridge.
Indefinitely. Oh, fridge, yeah.
Cupboard.
Boom.
What? What is wrong with you? Do you put your mayonnaise in there, too?
Oh, the mayonnaise goes in the fridge.
Mayonnaise does go in the fridge.
Salad cream. Okay, yeah. Salad. Well, I put everything in the fridge. Yeah.
Salad cream goes in the fridge. But with ketchup,
mm-hmm.
you can't have cold ketchup with hot fish and chips.
Yeah, I like that.
You absolutely can.
Absolutely not.
All of my hot sauces, I've got...
What's going to cool it down, then? If it's too hot to eat, but you're really hungry, dip it in some cold ketchup.
Right.
That's the argument.
I was on your side just now. We had a good argument. What are you doing? I don't know.
Yeah, what Gav says.
I've always kept it. I think it keeps fresher for longer. But I've got a big collection of hot sauces, and they all sit outside of the fridge. And they don't get anywhere near the fridge.
Right.
But for ketchup, I always used to put
You can't have cold hot sauce. The irony is just
exactly. But
unbearable.
I can see your point, because if you go in like in a fish and chip shop, that's not in a fridge.
No.
And if anyone should know, it's them.
Exactly.
Professionals.
I win.
Yeah, I've just told myself about that.
No, yes. I disagree.
Change your methods from now on.
I had a friend who kept their crisps in the fridge.
That's mad.
What? Crisps? Like McCoy's.
Right, that's insane.
And be like, you want a bag of crisps? And I'm like, yeah, and he'd open the fridge.
Freezing cold.
I think they would go soggy or something, but no, they're actually quite nice.
Why does he keep them in
refreshing?
The fridge?
It's like a cold bag of crisps. I don't know.
He's a madman.
He hasn't got enough cupboard space.
It does kind of sound like something. It sounds like something that I'll be reciting in a courtroom. And
yes,
I'd be like,
definitely.
Did you notice anything weird about Mr. Jameson before the murders? And I'd be like, well, he did keep his crisps in the fridge.
Yeah,
be like,
the jury will just go,
exactly.
That mofo was guilty. Okay, so cool stuff that is out this week. Films. We've got Run All Night, which is another Liam Neeson film where he plays a badass. I haven't seen it, but I've seen the poster, and I feel like I have seen it just from looking at that.
But until people stop going to see this stuff, they'll keep making it.
Who is going to see this?
It feels like he's a bankable name, though, and it's just like, he's almost like, you know, when
he's the thing that I hated in
Lego Movie.
Batman Begins.
No.
Why did you say Lego Movie?
Because he's in the Lego Movie.
Yeah, but why was that?
Because he's rubbish in it?
He was like my favorite person in Lego Movie.
You're wrong.
He was great.
What? But back to this.
Yeah.
You don't think he's a good Ra's al Ghul?
No.
Oh.
I thought that whole finale was... I loved the kind of the film up to that point. And if I could cut that bit out and put it, I would totally do that.
Who would you have as Ra's al Ghul?
Oh, I don't know. That's putting me on the spot.
He's good, though. I think he's a really good Ra's al Ghul.
I just don't think you like Northern Irish people.
Yeah.
So that is.
Well. Hyena, also, that came out last week, but this is cool British crime film, which I really, really want to see, and Chris hasn't stopped going on about it, so that's one you should definitely check out. But one film I have seen, which I don't think we've talked about on the podcast, is It Follows.
No, we've
I think we had a bunch of
guests.
In the office.
Yeah.
And It Follows is one of the best horror films I've seen in the last few years.
Yeah.
It's so good and so scary. It's got an amazing soundtrack as well, which is like really intrusive and really sort of pounding. And it generally scared me. So you should definitely check that out. Games that are out this week. Hotline Miami 2, which we liked. Some people didn't.
Yep.
It's been a very, very divisive game.
I think it's a good week.
Very good.
Yeah.
There's lots that I didn't even put in as well. Are you guys Hotline Miami fans?
Again, I played the first one a bit. Yeah. I haven't tried 2 yet.
Yeah.
So I'm all about the heists.
It's really, really good. It's not as good as the first one. The maps are just too big.
Right.
Like, the maps used to be like really small and
doable. Yeah, it was all about kind of instant gratification.
Exactly,
bang, bang, bang. Like, you know, really get through it quickly.
But now the maps are just way, way too big. And because it's so unrelenting, it's the first time that I've ever been killed right at the last minute and not gone straight back in.
Really?
I've been killed at the last minute and just gone, no, there's absolutely no way I'm doing that again.
I haven't played. Is it like in a FPS?
No. It's top-down twin stick shooter.
Okay, cool.
It's the first one is really, really good, and I think you could probably get it for like a quid on Vita.
Yeah.
And I love the Vita version as well. I've been playing this one on PC, and I don't know, I'm sort of used to playing it on Vita now.
Yeah.
But I probably will still buy it on Vita and play it through, I think, but I don't know. It's just not as good. But I just love the atmosphere, and I love anything that Devolver Digital put out as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm excited by that. Also out, DMC Definitive Edition.
DMC.
And it is
love
the
it.
Definitive
so good,
Edition.
Yeah.
So
it's really good.
Lives up to its name.
Mm-hmm.
And my other thing that I've been playing is Ollie 2 on PlayStation Plus. That's free on PlayStation Plus this week. So if you haven't played Ollie or Ollie 2, get on that.
Is it free?
It's free on PlayStation Plus, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
We gave it a high rating as well, like a 9 or something.
Yeah. This is amazing. It's a really, really good game.
It does look fun. Yeah.
It's made by some guys who live like, I don't know, like an hour away, something like that. And they've made some amazing games, Roll 7. And they're about to release this year, I think, another game called Not a Hero, which is an amazing sort of side-scrolling platform.
I was looking at that today, yeah.
So good. It's really, really good.
Badass Tembo Elephant Dude.
Or, Tembo the Badass Elephant?
Yeah. Or
Not a Hero.
Or Not a Hero.
I don't.
Probably, these are the big questions that we ask.
Well, not they're both funny. I think if a game makes me laugh, they're good. Not a Hero really made me laugh, and they've got like they've made this like sort of mayor character who started following me on Twitter recently, and he just says all sorts of mental stuff.
Right.
And I just really like the Roll 7 guys. I think they always just do awesome stuff, and they just really really love games. But then Tembo the Badass Elephant is made by the people who make Pokemon, so they know games
as
well.
Weird.
It is very very weird.
It is weird. That's the first thing I asked you when you were like, "It's made by Game Freak," and I was like, "Oh." Is it top down?
Yeah,
and you're like, no.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Has nothing in common with Pokemon as well.
Nothing
at
all.
Yeah, when I saw it, it's really strange to think it's the same company.
Yeah.
But then I guess, you know, companies make all different kinds of games. So.
That's right,
I guess
they
it's
because
it's like... I guess it's because it's like...
Insight.
Well, when you think about Game Freak, I don't know them to make anything except Pokemon. So it's like, it's a little weird.
They made a lot of stuff, but
yeah.
That's the more you know.
And obviously heists.
Yes.
Should we talk about heists some more?
Why are we doing this podcast? We should be heisting right now.
That's true. Yeah.
We could just have a little TV.
We have got our crew, the IGN UK Bruisers. Mm-hmm. So if you want to come and join us.
And doing Rory, bro.
You will probably see us online at lunchtimes or something like that.
That's right.
But yeah, you're Rory, bro.
Well, that's my... I think I'm Link Rory on PlayStation.
Oh,
yeah. I'm not keeping it true to the bros.
I'm Cameron Gav, CYMROGAV.
Bug Stomper.
Bug Stomper.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not El Bug Stomper.
Well, that's... Let's not get into that stuff.
Yeah.
The Mexican version of myself.
Ooh. Okay.
That's the Latino Robert Downey Jr. man.
You are
exactly,
absolutely right.
There you go. Nailed it.
There we are.
It's all coming together.
Anyway, that is it for this week's podcast. Thank you, as always, for listening. We'll be back same time next week. So until then, bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.